It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for joining us. We do realize you could have been anywhere on your radio dial this morning, but we're so glad you decided to stop by here. My name is Tiffany Bacon. I am your co-host, and today we're talking about happily never after. Oh boy, never after? Well, what is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? That's what we're discussing today. Give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to all here in Philadelphia, Charlotte, and around the world listening online. And obviously, good morning to you, Tiffany.
Hey.
And as Tiffany mentioned, we're talking about happily never after. And that is not from the fairy tale. We know there is a fairy tale by Lionsgate Films that came out a few years ago. But the reality is we try to base a lot of our relationships on what Hollywood says, whether it is a fairy tale or a movie. And we think, okay, we should live happily ever after. But you might be in a situation where you feel like you're not happy and you are unhappy. So we're going to talk to you today, and we hope, as always, that today's program would enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for this morning, for this opportunity to be able to draw closer to you, to get answers from your word, and Father, to get some great advice. We pray that our hearts and our minds will be open and that we'll be submissive to your will. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, our theme scripture for today comes from the book of John chapter 10, and it simply reads, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." In the New King James translation, it says to have it abundantly. And a lot of times we connect that with just having material possessions. Mm-hmm. Okay, God is going to bless us and we want that. But that's not what it's saying here. It says that we may have a full life. And many, many, many right now are looking for that fullness in relationships. They're hoping that they find that special someone, Prince Charming, that woman of their dreams. They're praying, they're hoping, they are fasting many times to find that special someone. And because they believe in their heart of hearts that when they find them, they will be complete, they will be happy. And then guess what? They're not.
Mm-hmm.
They find that person, or they think they do, and they're miserable, and they're even more unhappy than they were when they were alone. And they feel like, what is going on? And they are unhappy, and they cannot get happy. And, you know, so here the Bible says that is not from God. That is the devil's work. He comes to steal. And the first thing I believe Satan tries to take from us is our joy. And so he steals that. And then he goes, you know, for it. He wants to take us out. He goes to kill. He wants to kill the relationship, kill our family, kill us. You know, that's what he's going after. And if that were not enough, he wants to destroy the rest of it. Destroy marriages, destroy morality, destroy what God is trying to give us. And then Jesus, on the contrast, says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So we want to hear from you. What is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? What is causing it? And don't call up saying, oh, it's just him or it's her. But what about it? What about the relationship? What were your expectations that have not been met? What do you wish that can change, or you're praying that God would change? Because we want to hear from you. And today's show is specifically talking to all of us that Satan has robbed us of our joy.
All right. So give us a call, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. So when talking about that, Marcos, how do you help a couple where, say, there's been some sort of a trauma to one of the spouses, you know, the husband or the wife, and now they are suffering some depression, you know, whether it was a car accident or something, and now they just have some depression? How do you counsel them through that, where it's something else that happened, not between the relationship, that caused a, you know, a depressive situation with the husband or the wife?
Okay, well, that's actually a very good question, Tiffany, because it's actually been proven that many couples who go through a traumatic experience, like the loss of a child, mm-hmm. or something really challenging, like health issues, where someone is chronically ill, mm-hmm. or even, you know, even worse, where they lose someone they really love,
yeah.
they don't make it. A lot of them, you know, they go outside the marriage. They're, mm-hmm. they're unhappy because they're miserable with each other. I've even known of situations where we've gotten in there and counseled them where someone is so depressed that now they're not able, they're neglectful to their spouse now because mm-hmm. they're depressed and they are mourning, or they are at a point where they can't even give to their loved ones mm-hmm. because they're focused on themselves and, or really, really depressed. Now, what happens in those cases is I think there is a grace period. Mm-hmm. There's a time, you know, if someone loses a child, then, you know, we don't wish that on anyone. That is a difficult right. thing. You know, the way that it's supposed to be, or we tell ourselves it's supposed to be, is that, you know, the children are going to bury the parents, right. not the other way around.
Right.
But we know a lot of times parents do lose their children. Mm-hmm. And yet, if that was their world and they don't really make a connection, then they will go into some kind of depression.
Yeah.
And after a while, after that, what I call the grace period is, you know, after the normal time of mourning, and I don't want to put this on anyone, like, what's the normal time? You know, everyone has mm-hmm. a different approach to mourning and mm-hmm. a different, I would say, timeline, but it can't be indefinite. It can't be years and years and years go by
mm-hmm.
and this person is still mourning and they've neglected,
mm-hmm.
you know, their spouse and mm-hmm. their loved ones. And so what you do is, the first thing is, that person does need counseling
mm-hmm.
for themselves. Then usually the family needs it. And there mm-hmm. are some great resources there for grief counseling.
Yeah.
But the reality is, at some point, we have to consider the trials and tribulations a joy. And I know that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have shared this before. Years ago, I was at a workshop, and it was actually with a therapist that counseled rape victims, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. of rape. And it's deep, because one of the things he was saying is, even in those situations, the victim needs to look and see something positive. And you might ask yourself, how in the world would someone who's just been raped look at something positive? Says, well, if they don't, they might not ever heal from it.
Mm.
And what I mean by something positive, it could be something as simple as, wow, now I know that my family really loves me because look at the support.
Mm.
Or, wow, you know, this has helped me to understand how I need to make a difference because there's so many other people who've gone through this and I don't want them to go through this alone.
Right.
And so maybe this is an opportunity for me to give back. Whatever it is, if they just have even one thing that they focus on that's positive, mm-hmm. they will be okay. And so it's the same way with anything else that you go through. If you don't see how God is working
mm-hmm.
to make the situation better, you will not make it out of it. And if it's has to do with your marriage will not make it.
Okay, powerful words. And we do want to hear from you. In fact, Marcos is here to give you some guidance. We want to know, what is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? So we encourage you to call and speak on it, be real about it so you can get past it. Also, we also want to encourage you not to call to talk about somebody else's situation, mm-hmm. but to talk about your own. Don't talk about what them folks down the street doing. Talk about what you and your husband or wife are doing. So give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. We are going to take a break, but we're going to come back and hear from you as Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking about happily never after. What is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? Give us a call. 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Marcos, we have Maurice calling in on line two. Maurice, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Maurice. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Maurice.
Yeah, hello, how you doing?
We're doing very well. You're live on the air right now.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm just calling in. Me and my wife, we go through little problems, arguments. We don't know how to deal with the argument, and it just gets crazy. And I was just calling in to see if you could recommend some type of counseling or something for us.
Okay, well, a few things. First of all, if you don't mind, Maurice, when you argue and it gets crazy, can you just describe what that means?
Just the hollering, and I'm not the type to really to let an argument really go, but then she wants to argue it out, and, you know, and then it just goes haywire.
Okay. And when you mean haywire, does it get physical, or do you say things
because at a certain point I stop listening.
Okay.
And then, you know, then she wants to push on me and try to make me listen.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? That's very typical at times because we react in different ways. You know, there are ways that we shut down.
Yes.
There are things that it really depends. And sometimes I tell people, I get with them, right, to counsel, and I'll share with you in a minute. But sometimes it's so bad that even couples in front of me start having arguments. And I'm like, hold up a second. You're here to get help, and you're not really listening. Because here's the thing, Maurice. When we argue, when we're talking, we're not able to listen.
Yes.
And that is the number one problem with communication. And the number one problem that we have in relationships. So I want to be able to give you some more information, but I want to actually give you a passage, if you don't mind. Do you have a Bible there with you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, well, I'll read it to you, and hopefully you can remember so you could go over it yourself as well. Absolutely. And, you know, the Bible just quickly says here, it says in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. All right, so that if the Bible is saying take note of it, you really should take note of it, right? It says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What do you think of that?
Okay, Dick. We should just basically try to hear each other out and, you know, don't get angry and just listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? It says be quick to do that, like quick to listen. Mm-hmm. Usually we are quick to shut down.
And get angry and all the exact opposite.
Or quick to defend us. So I want you, as a matter of fact, this was the first memory scripture I gave my children.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to say you're a child, but one of the things is it's so basic that I want you to memorize that passage. And next time you are struggling with an argument, instead of being quick to respond or retaliate, be quick to listen. And just at that point, not stay quiet because you're shutting down, but stay quiet because you want to hear what she's trying to say. And in reference to the counseling, I'll give you this number.
Okay.
It's 717-862 VOWS, V-O-W-S. That's 8697. So 717-862-8697. Give me a call when we're not on the air and we can connect and talk about counseling.
Okay. Would it be sometime today or even Monday?
No, absolutely. You can call me today. It could just be after. Okay. Give that number a call after the show. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I thank you for everything that y'all doing. God bless.
All right, Maurice. God bless you too.
Bye-bye. Take care. We have Tania. I think it's Tania or Tania. Tanya, I'm so sorry. Tanya is on line 5 with a question. Tanya, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Tanya, you're live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Happily never after. I actually sat here and wrote it down and underlined never. My husband and I have been married for 18 years.
Wow.
And we don't communicate at all. He does his thing. I pretty much do mine. I'm a deliberate addict. So in the last couple of years, just trying to get together, we do nothing together. Try to do that little date thing, and he'll lay down and go to sleep and say, oh, I forgot. So I feel like I'm pushing after all the things that we've been through in the 18 years, pushing hard, and I sit and I wonder, you know, and it's so funny because I get up like I'm going to work and listen to the show on Saturdays by myself. Mm-hmm. And one day I mentioned it, why don't you listen to this with me? And it that only lasted a couple minutes. You know, he's a believer, he's a Christian, he's a church going, all those things. But in the household, you know, I feel like we're just dying slowly. And I don't, you know, I know counseling is the answer. I actually just wrote down the number that you gave to Maurice.
Sure.
And I just don't know where to go from here. I'm also hearing a message, a series that my pastor is doing on Satan's attack. Mm-hmm. Of offenses, and it's tearing me apart. Like, I don't know which way to turn at this point, and I wonder, will we ever be happy? Will we ever move forward? And I know that's an attack of the enemy, because God does want us to move forward, and he wants his people to be happy and live abundantly, and like you say, not just in things, but in our lives and in our marriages.
Okay. Well, Tanya, let me answer here real quick, because I'm sorry to interject, but I want to be able to address a couple of things that you're saying there. Number one, and I hate to do this to you, but I will. I have good news and bad news. Mm-hmm. All right, which one would you like to hear first?
Come on, just give it to me.
All right, look, here's the bad news. You're right. It would die slowly, and it will die because that's the road you're going in. And so if you do nothing, it won't change. It'll get worse. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is it doesn't have to go that route. But in order for that to happen, you have to take some approaches. You mentioned that your minister is doing a series on Satan's attacks. I tell you, that's a good thing. And I'm grateful that he's doing that because he's making you aware. But if you don't find a way to find hope through this, it would only magnify the problem. And so it would actually make it worse. So I'm not saying that what your pastor's doing is wrong, because he needs to make you aware of Satan's attacks. But when it comes to your relationship, if you feel like, oh, my goodness, we're being attacked, we're dying, and there's no hope after that, it will get worse because you'll become hopeless. And so it sounds like you're not entirely hopeless, but you're really hanging by a thread and saying, you know, is there anything that God can do? And of course he can. And so there are some things that we can help you with. There are tools. When you say that you never communicate, there's no communication. First of all, I think that's an overstatement because it can't be never.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so let me ask you a personal question. Are you and your husband intimate?
No, at this point, no.
Okay, and if you don't mind telling us, how long has that been, the last time?
About a month.
Okay, so about a month. All right, and is there, like, when it does happen, who initiates and how do you get to that point?
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, let me commend you. Thank you so
much.
And
I get tired of it.
Okay. Okay. And we'll deal with that as well. But the first thing is, the Bible says, do not become weary of doing good, because at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up, right? And I'm paraphrasing. But it's the fact that we can never say, okay, I'm tired of it. Now, it's good to be honest and say, look, this is hard. I feel like I'm alone. I'm trying to keep things together in these 18 years. For the last few specifically, you feel like you've been alone and it's not going in the right direction. Is your husband open to getting together and getting help?
I mentioned it this morning. He got up and left out. I didn't even know he actually went out the door. I saw him get dressed and he went out the door, and I called him on the phone and I said, you left the house? And he said, yes. And I said, let's stop you giving Satan all this power over our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to be open. This was just this morning, and I said, you know, are you open to counseling? And he said, yes. And that was pretty much it. But, I believe that we are hanging by a thread, and I am trying to overcome. No, not trying to come. I am overcoming blaming myself.
Okay, and Tanya, let me just pause there. I want to encourage you. Be encouraged. Mm-hmm. You communicated. You said there was no communication. You communicated with your husband. Mm-hmm. He communicated back. It was a simple conversation. You just said, are you open to getting help, some counseling? And he said yes. And that is the beginning. Look at that. And because what the devil want you to do is to focus on everything else. Oh, look, he's not home. Oh, say it. But no.
here's this small seed of hope that he's willing to get together. And I tell you, when he gets there, you never know. He might have reasons why he's shutting down, hurts that he has, things that he needs to deal in his life. And so there's a lot of hope there, Tanya. I just want you to know that. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. And so what you did was very commendable. You went the extra mile. You put yourself out there, put it like that. And he responded in a positive way. So I want to encourage you. Stay encouraged. You know, definitely feel free. Give us a call at that number. And thank you so much for calling our show.
And thank you so much. You, I mean, this show is not in vain. It helps a lot of people. So I just want to encourage you as well. I really appreciate this show.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's go to Sabrine calling in on line 3 with a comment. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for calling. What's your comment?
Hi. Well, do you hear that echo? I hope not.
Oh, we only hear you. Go ahead.
Okay,
and we want to hear from you.
I was just listening to the two people, and not that I can identify with that, but I found that being in an awesome Bible teaching church, it taught me how to be a wife. It taught me how to be a lover. And it gave me so much strength where things when they weren't going well that I did get encouraged. And that was wonderful when you told me I'm getting to stay encouraged. Mm-hmm. I remember days that I cried. And why me? But the more that I listened to the word, the more that I applied the word, it gave me back my peace. It gave me back my joy. And it came, this is stem from a relationship that's like 25 years. He is an awesome person, but he,
Sabrine, do you hear me?
I'm breaking up?
Yeah, you are breaking up.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Am I still breaking up? Can you call back?
You know what? If you can please call us back, because at first you sounded fine, and then you started breaking up, and it's pretty bad.
Okay.
All right, you sound better now. Try again.
Can you hear me today?
Well, yeah. No. You know what? You are breaking up. So,
okay,
so if you could call back, please. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. So, again, we want you to give us a call. Our topic today is happily never after. What is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? What are the things that are going on in your marriage that are keeping you or your husband or wife unhappy? So we want you to give us a call. 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. We have Terry calling in on line 2. Terry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning, Terry.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good. We're talking about what is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness. And you have a comment or question for us today.
What is my biggest contributor to my husband's infidelity.
The infidelity, okay. And do you want to explain what happened, please?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, my husband had a drug addiction, and he had moved to a new town, and he had got his stuff together. And I stayed in Philadelphia, and he said for me to come out there, and I came out there. And although he wasn't on drugs no more, he still had drug behavior.
Okay.
So then, but I didn't know, like, the fullest thing. I just thought that when he got off, it'd be better. But then he just started arguing and fighting with me and everything, so I moved out. And he, matter of fact, I moved to a shelter when I was out there.
Wow.
And he started having sexual relations with women by paying them.
Okay.
So I found out, now I have to move back out there. So I'm moving back today.
You're moving back to the house or to the shelter?
No, out to the town that we were from. I had to move back to Philadelphia for my housing and stuff, and then I had to move back out there. So now that I have it, I switched it out there because then we started getting along again. He started wanting to change and stuff, and then I went back out to, but I heard that he was still doing the same thing that he was doing before. And I just told him recently that he was supposed to be moving with me. Mm-hmm. So I told him no, I didn't want him to move with me.
Okay. All right. Well, and let me share something with you. I do appreciate for your call, Terry, right? And the Bible is so clear about certain things, and what you shared is pretty powerful, because in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." So it just talks about God's power. And then in the very next verse, it says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ himself? Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit." And then it gives some advice about how to, you know, flee from sexual immorality and all other sins. And really, what I want to encourage you, Terry, is that at this point, you need to focus on your relationship with God. I don't know what's going on with your husband, but he's obviously not living for God, not trying to please God by going out there and doing this. And you have to, first of all, protect your temple. So if you join back with him and he's sleeping around paying for sex, that's even dangerous. You want to make sure you're protecting yourself. But above all, the Bible also says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Making sure that you're not bitter through this. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to at this point, you can actually get a divorce, because he's been unfaithful. He's left the marriage. And so I'm not saying that you need to, I'm not saying you need to divorce him, but you can if you wanted to. And it'll be fine before the eyes of God, because he's broken the covenant and he's joined himself with someone else.
Okay. But this, when I read in Malachi 3, like, God hates divorce.
He does.
So is that really, I don't know. I'm scared.
Okay, no, and you know
and
what?
Even and if I
good.
Get a divorce, it says that I'm not really divorced. Like,
okay, but listen to this. It's not you that did the breaking of this covenant, of this relation. Your husband left. And so does God hate that? Of course. You think God is pleased right now knowing what your husband's doing? Of course not. And so if it's on your heart to not divorce him, then don't divorce him. But at the same time, don't get back with him. Stay separated until he shows you that he's repented.
Okay.
And so you don't have to get divorced. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you needed to and you felt like, okay, I cannot live with this, you're okay.
Actually, I'm stronger now, because when I was going through so much, just visualizing him being with another female, it just hurted me so much, and I just thought I was crazy. I thought I had to go to the doctors. I just thought I was just having a breakdown, but actually, it drew me closer to God. I got on my knees 3 o'clock in the morning when I thought about him, because I was waking up thinking about it, going to sleep thinking about it, and when I kept getting on my knees, kept praying and asking God to take this away from me and stuff, and he actually answered my prayers. And a personal friend of mine said, "Terry, come on, let's go to the doctors. I think he had an aneurysm breakdown." And I said, "I don't know. I think so, too. But I think I have the best physician in the world, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm just going to be praying."
Amen.
And he broke the bondage, and I'm better. I'm much, much better now.
Amen.
Much better. I was scared to go out of the house, and it was just a lot of stuff going on.
Amen. So we're glad to hear that everything worked out for you, Terry. God bless, and thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, again, our phone number is 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. We have an anonymous caller on line 4. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi. How are you? Good morning, Marcus. Marcos?
Yeah, Marcos, and Tiffany's here with me, and we thank you so much for your call. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I was just calling to say that my happily never after is that I am married almost 15 years and separated, and kind of just like stuck in that separated state. Nobody's moving either way for the past couple of years.
Okay. And what was the reason for the separation?
Well, I think primarily my husband went through a lot of stressors, like all at the same time. Like, he lost his mom to cancer. He lost his career at the same time. We had built a business that failed at the same time. And I think it was so much that it caused him to pretty much have some type of meltdown, which caused him to totally turn away from me. You know, he then, like, moved out of the bedroom, took off his ring, the whole nine yards. Not this wasn't, like, right after all of that, but it was, like, after some time passed. So I didn't, like, now looking back, I know that those things contributed at the time. I thought it was just all about, you know, his feelings for me, that he wasn't in love with me anymore. Because my husband was the type of man, he never would go without his ring. He was always proud to have his ring on his finger. He was always in love with his wife. And he just totally, like, withdrew from me.
Okay. All right. And how long has that been?
It's been 2 years now.
Okay. And you feel like there's no reconciliation? Are you still in contact with your husband?
Oh, yeah, because we have four children together.
Oh, okay. Wow. But you live separately or in the same house separately? Or does he, did he move out?
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
I'm here. Hello?
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, I don't know. We seem to have lost the connection there. Okay, but the question I had was, is he living somewhere else? Did he leave the house?
Yes, he moved. He ended up moving out.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
No, that's good. I mean, it's not good that he moved out. I just was trying to get clarity there because at first you say he left the bedroom. So you're saying it was gradual, but at some point he actually left the house.
Okay. Right. At some point I was, first I tried to like leave him alone because I know he was kind of like going through a depression and everything. Mm-hmm. And people were saying, don't put pressure on him. People commit suicide and that sort of thing. But I got to the point where I realized he was kind of taking advantage of me as far as not contributing to the household and to,
okay,
you know, the children and stuff. So when I confronted him on that, that's when he decided to leave. And he moved in with his father. Mm-hmm. But he comes home on the weekend, every weekend, you know, to be with the children and stuff.
And does
while
he,
I work.
And does he stay over when he's with the children?
Well, yeah, because I go to work. So okay. He spends the night.
All right. Well, a couple of things. First of all, for yourself and for everyone who's listening, the scripture, the only scripture that we ever could refer to in terms of a separation is from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 5 and 6, where it says, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so this is Paul's advice to the church in Corinth. And he's just saying, listen, you really should not separate. You should be together. Except if there's a time where you feel like you really need to pray about things. And it sounds like that time was very needed to have that separation, to be able to pray and maybe get his head straight or whatever. The problem is that if you didn't do this mutually and you didn't come to an agreement so that you can come back together, usually what happens is where you are, where there's no coming together because it's like you separate it and then the devil takes reign of that. And then who knows what else happens? Because then it becomes convenient. Then it becomes easier. If you don't see eye to eye, then, hey, I'm going back home. My home is somewhere else. And you're not working at this together. And so my first question for you would be, you know, have you had a conversation with him where you really sat down and said, okay, what are we going to do from here? It's been 2 years. It's a very long time. What is the plan?
Yeah, we've had that conversation. I started out the end of last year, like, saying, look, 2012 comes in, I'm either going to be happily married again or I'm going to be totally divorced or in between. I'm sick of it. Went through the whole thing. We talked about getting counseling and he kind of knew some people at our previous church that he contacted. But then it was like, when it was time to go, he was like, well, I'm starting this new job and I really don't have the availability now. And, you know, it was just like excuses, you know, just excuses as to why he couldn't, you know, make a priority for us to go. In the meantime, I started seeing someone else.
Someone else, you mean another relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
So what do you want out of this marriage? Because if you're seeing someone else, I mean, you know what I'm going to say about that, right?
Well, I know exactly what you're probably going to say, that it's adulterous.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not me saying it. That's what the Bible says. So you're committing adultery. Does he know this?
No, he never really asked. I mean, when we separated, I think we both felt like we were separating for good. Like we were separating to
lead to a divorce, but we just didn't want to do that ultimate divorce because we didn't want to hurt the children. So we kind of, we really just kind of said, oh, well, Daddy has a new job and staying with Pop-Pop will help, you know, better, you know, more convenient or whatever. We just put it like that with the children. So I think it was mainly because of them at first that we didn't. But I have to say, you know, at first I didn't look at it. I mean, I know the word is the word, but I didn't look at it as adultery because I thought, okay, I'm not cheating. I never cheated on my husband for the whole time we were married, and I don't think he ever cheated on me. And I just felt like, okay, we both agreed that we're separated, and I can't let this kill me. I'm going on with my life. And that's what I did. Now, since then, I've had a, I think before I knew I was saved and I was religious, mm-hmm. but I would have to say that I now have a more of a personal relationship with God. Like, before I was saved, but I never read the Bible or anything like that. I went to church, took the kids to church. But now, since I've been in the Word in the past couple of years, you know, that's when I started realizing, well, hey, it doesn't really matter what agreement we came
sure.
to.
Absolutely.
And the Word is the Word.
Interject. Well, you're right. And so are you still seeing someone else?
I am.
Okay. You need to stop that. I mean, you're saying that you're following the Word. You're a married woman. Doesn't matter how you slice it, how you look at it, you're still married. In the eyes of God, that is your husband. Yes, you're separated. Yes, it's been 2 years, but he is your husband, and you should not be with anyone else.
Right.
And so if you're saying, okay, you're reading the Word and all this, you need to put it into practice. So you need to cut that relationship off. You're not a single woman. You're married.
You're right to the point, aren't you?
Well, you're called, right? You want to hear the truth. So
yeah,
you're right. You need to let that go, and you need to stop making excuses, and then you can't just depend on your husband to try to say, okay, let's work this out. You need to go to God first and say, God, what is it that you want from this? And if you want this, let's get some help. Let's sit down. And whether he wants to or not, I mean, you guys have to come to an agreement and bring this to a head. It can't just stay open-ended. It is the devil's playground, what you've done. You've allowed the devil to come into your marriage.
Yeah.
You and your husband together.
Yeah, I see that now. I didn't see that before. I see that now, you know, my role was to really pray for him and pray for our family because he was being overtaken by, you know, depression and all that. But I didn't see that at the time. But, like, once I really started being convicted and saying, hey, you know, once I got into the Word, I mean, it was like I had already gotten into this relationship, already had feelings for this person. I mean, that doesn't matter. It is what it is. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you know, then I started feeling like, wow. And I never would associate that term with myself because, like I said, I've never cheated on my husband, even when we were dating.
Yep,
so
you can't
to come
say,
to that
you
realization
that
was like, wow. Okay.
Absolutely. So listen, we want to encourage you, go ahead and repent of that adultery. That's what it is. And then go ahead and ask God to work and bless the union that you had, 14, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we want to say thank you for calling. We want to hear back from you with good news, how you've repented and how God is working in your marriage.
Do you think maybe we'd be somebody you would work with?
I would love to. I would love to, you know, see you face to face and meet your husband. And absolutely.
Okay. So
you have a way to reach me? There are many ways you can reach me. You can go to my website, marcosmercado.org, or you can call 717-862-8697. Or, of course, you can always go to praisephilly.com and send me a message. Just look for Marcos Mercado.
Okay, thank you so much, Marcos.
Well, you're welcome. And we can't wait to hear from you.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Thanks again for calling.
Thanks, Tiffany. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Praise, your inspiration station. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows, and today we're talking about happily never after. What is the biggest contributor to your unhappiness? Talk about it. Work through it. Get some guidance from Marcos today. This is your day to get free, so come on. 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644.
Free yourself. All right. That's what we're talking about. And here's the truth. We're talking about happily never after. We know it's not never, but are you realizing that you're more unhappy than happy in your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
That it's just taken over. It's not the isolated situations that cause you grief and, you know, to be a little depressed or a little down. I mean, this seems like all the time in your marriage that things are not going well and that you're unhappy. So we do want to hear from you. I think we have another caller here, Sandra, with a question.
Actually, it's Sabrine.
Oh, Sabrina.
Sabrina's back.
All right, Sabrina's back. Great, great.
All right,
great.
Sabrina's back with a comment on line three. Sabrina, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Oh. I was listening to the people who have so much of it. My goodness, it was just so much overwhelming listening. Mm-hmm. I had been with my husband 25 years, and through the middle of this, mm-hmm. we had got entangled with his adult children.
Okay.
And with them, they were told lies by their mother. So therefore, they believed their mother. And so now I had got caught up between him trying to keep his fatherhood with his adult children and have, you know, this is like two families. Mm-hmm. And it was a constant battle. And it, you know, I know that through the grace of God, through me being in a Bible teaching church, from me understanding, getting the understanding, because I didn't have it in okay. the beginning of this because I was rebellious, and rebellious meaning that I wanted to stand my ground. Okay. So me standing my ground really, really hurt me tremendously. It was like the anger that I had inside of me, I couldn't stand to hear their voice. I couldn't stand to be around them. So therefore, all that Satan allowed to happen, happened, you know, where it put a wedge between me and my husband. But then as time, and this was for years going into this, years. And so I was just so angry and so annoyed. But then as I just allowed myself to be submitted unto the Word of God, mm-hmm. and changing and moving and changing and moving and praying and fasting, that I was able to forgive them. And now we're not perfect. They probably still don't like me, but I love them. And I, you know, and I say this with all that that is in my soul, that having a faith-based church, a church that teaches you tremendously on, you know, relationship, on marriage, on your love of God, on your prayer and fasting, those are the things that got me through, whereas I became a better wife, you know, because I listened to the Word, because I applied myself. I even took ministry classes. And so all those things helped to change my, because I couldn't change none sure. of them. I had to learn to change me.
Amen.
And
I just
so
want
once
to say,
I changed
Sabrina?
Me, then everything else took place.
Okay, Sabrina, we hear you loud and clear, and we're so grateful to hear your testimony, how it took a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, and really getting resolved and getting into the Word to be able to forgive and move on. And hey, amen. Great news. Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Sabrina, for sharing that with us today.
All right, so you are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're actually going to take a break, but looks like you might actually get the secret to being happy. Ooh, mm-hmm. you want to know what that secret is? Well, you got to tune in. We'll tell you about that and check in with our second favorite book, Facebook, when Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.